Well, back here at home, we've got the fact of another continuation of the state stalemate, over the issues and agenda being pushed by Republican Governor Bruce Rauner against the Democratic supermajority in the Illinois General Assembly. And joining me now on the phone is State Representative Brandon Phelps, a 13-year Democrat from Harrisburg. Representative, thank you so much for joining me this morning.
Hey, Rick, it's an honor to be on your show. Thanks for thinking of me.
Well, I appreciate having folks on from downstate to kind of, you know, it's part of the diversity of our state is the regionalism, but there's also, you know, the regionalism of politics that gets played. And you are among several Democrats that are now targets of TV ads being run by the House Republican organization, calling you out for your loyalty to Democratic House Speaker Mike Madigan.
Yeah, and Rick, you know, it's unbelievable. I mean, because, you know, one minute he's going around the governor saying he wants to compromise. But, Rick, his idea of compromise is when people just agree with him. And we can't have that in this state, especially right now. Not right now. I mean, for instance, I was a big I like Jim Edgar. And a lot of people in my district did. And I know he's the same party as Governor Rauner. And even him, you know, even he said, you know, quit doing the politics, get a budget. That should be your first priority. But it hasn't been because he wants to compromise. And the next day he does a $100,000 buy for 5 days to run ads against me. Now, look, yeah, I've been there for a while. I've known Speaker Madigan. Even back, Rick, you knew my uncle back in the 80s and early 90s. They tried to link my uncle with the speaker. It didn't work then. It's not going to work now. These ads are actually helping me, Rick. I've been walking precincts every day. I was going to every event that I possibly can. His approval rating, the governor's approval rating down in Southern Illinois right now is about 17%. So when he's attacking me, it's actually helping me. It's driving more people to my campaign.
Well, I was going to ask you, you know, now that everybody is back home and back in their districts, and, I mean, there is no shortage of frustration. And quite frankly, in some respects, it's probably good that everybody got out of that building and got a break because the tensions were flaring pretty high. But, I mean, what are the voices on the ground back in your district telling you?
Yeah, they're definitely wanting a budget. But they understand that I'm going to do the right thing. Rick, I don't vote for anything until I check with, for example, on education funding. I don't vote for anything until I check with my administrators and my teachers. I do that. You know, I've got groups all over my district that I talk to about any time I take these votes, which are important not only to me, but they're more important to my constituency. And I'm always going to do that. But, Rick, right now I cannot be for the governor's I think he wants to raise the taxes. I've never voted for an income tax increase. I'm not going to vote for one now. I think he wants to raise taxes. I think he even wants to talk about retirement income tax. I'm not going to do that. And at the same time, he knows he doesn't have the votes for the turnaround agenda because I am not going to go against hurting the working men and women of my district. I cannot cave in to going backwards like right to work. I'm just not going to do it. But, Rick, I can be for some of his turnaround agenda. I can be for more of some workman's comp reforms. I can be for a property tax freeze. But I'm not going to sell out my unions, the working men and women that I represent. I'm just not going to do it.
Well, you know, particularly in a district like yours that encompasses a lot of rural areas, and quite frankly, it's like state facilities are almost somewhat the lifeblood of some of those areas downstate. I mean, what is the economy like downstate, and what could be done to improve it?
Well, it's tough because, you know, right now what's going on with the coal industry, we do have a lot of layoffs right now. You know, I'm willing to work. Rick, you've known me. I think I'm one of the most bipartisan legislators that there are. And I pride myself with working with Republicans, independents, Green Party. I can do it all. I want to do that. That's the way I've always been. But it's tough right now. I've always trying to give somebody a chance. You know, you just heard your little deal with Bernie Sanders. I'm not feeling the burn. I'm not really feeling Hillary Clinton either because of the coal industry. I tried to work with Barack Obama on some things, but he kept punching me in the face about the coal industry, and I punched back. My record stands clear on how I feel about the coal. But you're right. State facilities is huge with me, and the governor and I were getting along very well. And we were talking about going hunting, and I'm not going to really talk about too much the private conversations that we've had out of respect to him a little bit. But we're going to go on some hunting trips and things. And then the very next week, he wants to shut down one of my state facilities, the Hardin County War Camp. And Senator Forbee and I has passed that on in the legislature to get that reopened. But we hear he's going to veto it. That's going to kill him even more down here in Southern Illinois if he does that.
And what is that economically for your district?
Well, it's the biggest employer of Hardin County. As you know, that's right in the middle of the Shawnee National Forest, which is very beautiful, Rick. Hardin County is not very big at all, and it's one of its biggest employers with around 80, 85 people, and that's huge for that community. And I just hate that we're, you know, what we need, these state facilities, especially we need more correctional facilities like that, Rick. I mean, there's no fence around this correctional facility. These are people that are trying to make a difference in society to get right, and you know, we need more facilities like that. And the governor's asking for $100 million more in corrections budget, Rick. I'm asking just for $1 million of that to open back up the Hardin County War Camp that we need so desperately.
And the word you're getting from the second floor of the State House is no.
Yeah, no, and I just hope he's not playing politics with this, because everybody agrees we need more facilities like this. I mean, I got the vote on the bipartisan COCFA, you know, to keep it open, and then I got it passed in the House with some Republican votes on there. So I hope that he comes to his senses and helps us out, because we need it.
Well, of course, you know, when you talk about the turnaround agenda, his argument is that it's, you know, adopting what he proposes would provide the freedom for these communities to do pro-business changes that would help rural economies.
Yeah, but Rick, I'm not willing. He keeps coming back to right to work and things like that. I've been to some of those discussions. They say it's off the table, but really that's what he wants. He wants to break the unions. I really believe he wants to raise taxes, and I cannot vote for anything that he wants to do in that aspect. I'm just not going
to
do it.
Although, to be fair about taxes, I mean, certainly the budgets that have been passed, actually the budget that was passed for the previous budget year, we didn't pass a budget this year, but the one that came out of the House, both billions of dollars short, even budgets proposed by the governor have been billions of dollars short. I mean, there is a need for new revenue to you can't just make cuts here to balance the budget.
And Rick, you're absolutely 100% correct. You know, we sent that spending plan to him to keep the talks going, to keep the ball rolling. You know, I still believe he had the ability to manage that with line item vetoes. I've always proposed that we look at closing CMS. That's about a $2 billion saving. I'm for closing loopholes. I would be for more gaming, to be honest with you. We can look at sweeping some funds. We can look at some borrowing. I'm ready to talk about all that, but I just can't put another income tax on my constituency. I just can't do it. I know my constituents. They don't want it. I don't want to put it on them. I've never voted for that once, and I do not want to vote for it again. But, Rick, I still think there's time to do this. That night, as you know, you know what's going on in the Capitol. There was going to be a kumbaya meeting with a bunch of bipartisan legislators from the Senate and the House. We were all going to get together, try to do a rank and file deal like we've been doing on these working groups.
Right.
Governor found out about it, and then he had that big press conference in the stairwell with all the leader from the House and the leader from the Senate. Well, those talks were gone. So that put us back. That really pushed us back. I thought we were close, and we're a little farther now than we ever been.
We're speaking with State Representative Brandon Phelps, 13-year Democrat from Harrisburg in Southern Illinois. I'm Rick Pearson. This is the Sunday Spin. Welcome back to the Sunday Spin. I'm Rick Pearson here in the Allstate Showcase Studio in Tribune Tower on Michigan Avenue. And joining me on the phone is State Representative Brandon Phelps, a Democrat from Harrisburg, Illinois. And we're getting the Southern Illinois Democratic perspective on what did and didn't happen in Springfield. So, Representative, you know, it was kind of interesting, and you touched on this. You had this press conference held at 5 o'clock on the day of adjournment, 7 hours before the adjournment deadline, as it were. And you have this press conference with Governor Rauner and several Republican state lawmakers, state senators, and they're basically accusing the Democrats of playing politics, and they know that they're passing a phony budget, even though it didn't pass. And then he goes on the following couple of days to campaign around the state, down in your neck of the woods, for example, and basically saying Democrats are playing politics. They don't want a budget. They want a stall game. They're holding hostages, and then calls for compromise. And I'm just curious. I mean, it's hard to see how you get compromised when people are kicking you.
Well, and that's the thing, Rick, you've known me, and a lot of people, I think, I'm not patting myself on the back. A lot of people know they can work with me. I try to be a voice of reason, and I listen to everybody and try to get along with everybody. But his idea of compromise is when people only listen to him. Rick, there's no more Republican Party. It's the Rounder Party. I mean, the money shows it. You just follow the money. That's exactly what a lot of people believe. It's his way or no way, and I just can't be with that. You know, they make fun of us for a 500-page spending plan. Then he comes back the day of adjournment and files one that's almost double the size of that, almost 1,100 pages. So, and then he comes to a state facility in my district, the Vienna Correctional Center, holds more or less a press conference, nothing more than politics. And then the next day he starts running ads against Representative Bradley and I, saying we're puppets of Speaker Madigan. You know, from day one, and like I said, back when my uncle, back in the 80s, they kept saying that about the speaker. It doesn't work. People know who their legislators are. They know that we're going to make the right decisions, and I continue to stand on my record, and I always will.
Well, and there's no doubt you knew that you were going to be a targeted Democrat downstate, more conservative area of the state, and that anytime you vote for something that might look like it's helping Chicago, you're going to be tarred with that.
Always. And it's always been from day one. There is some give and take you have to do. And I'm going to continue to do the give and take. I mean, I know that we have to give Chicago and the suburbs some things in order downstate to get some things. We understand that, and we try to do the job well. But, you know, I know the governor's asking right now, trying to find out where his tax votes are and trying to weaken the workers' rights. Rick, I can't do that, and I'm not going to do that, and I'll say it first here. But I just can't believe, though, some of the things that his party has not voted on. I mean, you know, if it wasn't for him and these consent decrees, I think we'd already have a budget. But, you know, a lot of people are getting paid. He made the deals with these courts and these groups to get paid. So I just hope he did say the other day, I got to tell him this. He did say the other day about a stopgap budget. I don't think that's necessarily tough to try to get. I think we can do that on a bipartisan measure. I'm willing to listen to that. But my first priority right now, Rick, is to make sure my schools get open in August and those kids go back to school first and foremost. That's exactly what I want.
Well, and that's the next thing I wanted to ask, because certainly it seems to me that the schools are basically now the pressure point, because last year when the Democratic budget was sent to the governor, he vetoed all of it except for the portion that dealt with grade in high schools, and that took a big pressure point off. Now we don't have a budget at all sitting on his desk, and the very real fear about the fate of schools opening. And of course, we have the issues up here in Chicago about the billion-dollar deficit it faces. There are various competing spending plans that were passed by the Senate and the House, but none of them ultimately sent to the governor that would provide up to $450 million to the Chicago public schools. All that talk still about trying to change the school aid formula, talk about making sure if we put more money into schools under the current formula that no school district loses any money, the governor wanting a standalone plan. I have to wonder, is the risk so great about if schools don't open? And of course, each side believes the other side is to blame for all of this. But is the risk so great that we are going to have just a single clean, as it were, education funding bill?
I can see that. I definitely can see that, Rick. I mean, that's one of the reasons why I voted for that spending plan. I talked to my superintendents. I talked to my teachers' organizations. And, you know, they said, Brandon, we need you to vote for something to get it to the governor's desk. And actually, that spending plan, Rick, was the most money that my schools have seen in the history of Illinois. And I can see, and I can't speak for my colleagues, but I talked to a lot of Republicans, talked to a lot of Democrats. I know the number one priority right now is to get a K-12 budget. And I think a lot of my colleagues would vote on something to make sure, because the governor does not want schools not to open on his watch.
But does Speaker Madigan want the schools not to open under his watch?
I think he does. We talked to him. He understands how important this is going to be for our schools. And I know he's starting to listen to the rank and file members a little more, because we're going to him in some of these talks. And he understands how critical that issue is, no doubt about it.
Well, and I think, too, when you look at the issue of schools not opening in Chicago, which is something that Forrest Claypool, the head of the Chicago Public Schools, said that schools won't open if there is not a state appropriation. You know, you look at the gun violence that we have in this city, and then you have the talk about the prospect of the Chicago Public Schools not opening. I mean, that just boggles the mind.
Well, yeah, and I don't understand it like you, of course, but you know, by listening, I do understand a little bit more when the Chicago legislators talk to me about that. And I get it. And I think, therefore, like I said, Rick, I think there's going to be a big push by every legislator in the General Assembly, the House and the Senate, to make sure that we put pressure on our leaders, not just the Democrat leaders, but also the Republican leaders, to get something done. And I really think you'll see something done, hopefully by the middle of July. I really do.
But do you think it's going to be of the magnitude, of the dollar magnitude of what you passed, or even what the Senate tried to do with a $900 million in new funding?
I don't know how we can, Rick, like you said earlier, until we have that revenue discussion. I just think you'll see a stopgap, and my superintendents are going crazy even if we do a six-month budget for K through 12, because how do you plan for the whole year? And so, I mean, I hope the discussions are still going. Rick, you said earlier about, you know, need a little break. I do agree. There are a lot of people that did want the break. You know me. I'm ready to be there right now. We know I wish we'd stay until they lock the doors, and I know a lot of people say that, and you had people bringing their sleeping bags in. I don't buy all that, but we need to be there more. And I'm going to ask the Speaker to see if we can't be there more. But if the governor really wants us there, you know he's got more constitutional power to put us back and, you know, bring us back than anybody. I mean, heck, Rick, he can even dispatch the state police to come and get us. So I'm ready for that. I'm ready for that, and I'll be there every day that the session's there.
You touched on the stopgap issue, and I thought that was kind of interesting because here we were the Friday before the deadline of Tuesday, but on that Friday you had a leaders meeting with the governor, and Senate President John Cullerton had touched on the idea of, well, what about a stopgap budget, short-term budget, to tide us over? The working groups are meeting, they're making some progress, but in Cullerton's view, there was no way those working groups could wrap up their work on these big issues by Tuesday. And the administration completely threw cold water on that idea and basically accused the Democrats of walking away from the table in these working groups. And then you flash forward to Tuesday, the adjournment deadline day, and it's the Rauner administration that's proposing a stopgap budget. I mean, that to me kind of just shows the tensions that exist between the legislative chamber and the governor.
Rick, no one trusts each other. That's the bottom line. No one trusts each other. I mean, it's all political. It's all political. Case in point, just by the ads they're running against, you know, the five whatever targeted, whatever you want to call us, Democrats. I mean, they're running $100,000 for 5 days on each one of my networks and three, you know, with ABC, CBS, and NBC. But I don't know how you find compromise that. I don't know why you want to lead the way he wants to do that. To me, that's no way to lead. You're the governor. You want to bring people together, and we don't have that in this governor, Rick.
We got a text from a listener who wanted to know about, you mentioned about saving money by eliminating CMS, and we neglected to say what CMS is, Central Management Services, but what that's basically the bureaucratic agency that runs the bureaucracy, if that makes any sense.
Rick, I had the bill to do it a couple years ago. I had the bill to shut it down because I listened to a lot of my state workers, not only from my district, from a lot of different places around the state. And they said, for example, the Department of Natural Resources, when you buy a new lawnmower, that department has to buy it from CMS, and then CMS has to buy it from the dealer. Why can't we have the departments to do that, save that extra layer of money, get rid of that extra layer of bureaucracy? I don't think we need it. That's something we need to look at. I've even told the governor that. Let's look at shutting that down. I think let the departments do their duties and get rid of CMS. That's a savings of almost $2 billion with a B, $2 billion, Rick, and I want to continue to look at that.
Actually, I believe that was part of his original campaign platform, was to get, I don't know about eliminating it, but of basically generating a bunch of savings by eliminating a lot of its duties.
I don't know why you want to have that extra layer of bureaucracy, Rick. Everybody wants to talk about smaller government, less government. There you go right there. And like I said, I had the bill a couple of years ago. I'm not saying advocating to cut people's job. You can put some of those CMS employees in the other departments, but you're still going to save a lot of money. We got to look more at that. I'm going to look more at those kind of things than I am for an income tax increase, Rick, because I'm not ready and willing to do any type of income tax or retirement income tax. Rick, I'm a retirement community. I have a lot of people from your listening area that actually has moved to Southern Illinois because they can't believe how beautiful it is. So I'm willing to have those discussions. Rick, you know me. I'm level-headed. I work with anybody.
That's State Representative Brandon Phelps, a Democrat from Harrisburg. Representative, thank you so much for giving us the downstate Democratic perspective.
Hey, it really was truly an honor to be with you, Rick, and thanks for thinking of me again.
We're going to take a quick break. You're listening to the Sunday Spin on WGN.